Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to
what you're gonna do. What you gonna do?
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 Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Warren. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airwaves, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I just thank you for allowing me into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. And I just want you to get you a good seat on this evening. I want you to get your chip and dip, whatever you want to sip. Hallelujah. I want you to get all your digital toys and bring them aboard. Hallelujah. Bring your laptop. Bring your iPhone. Bring your tablet. And various, like I said, digital devices. Bring them aboard with you on this evening. And we're in for a mighty great time. Hallelujah. God's willing on this evening. But before we do that, we always come across these airways and skyways, hallelujah, with an opening prayer. And we come acknowledging our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to present to some and introduce to others. He's a native of Nazareth. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come, hallelujah, with a grateful heart of your sovereignty, hallelujah, and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around this background. Father God, we know that this earthly plains that we're treading our feet upon, God, is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will mount up before the four corners of this earth, God, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay. I want to be able to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, the pardons of their iniquity. Asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, hallelujah, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just want to send condolences out to you and you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, last 24 hours, hours ago. I want you to know that you're not alone and that God has pilgrims all across this land that's praying for you and with you, that God will heal your broken heart and bring about restoration. All right. Well, we're going to now go on into a live program that's already in progression. And our sermon on this evening entitled, Why Are the Children of Israel the Chosen People? I want to say that one more time. Why are the children of Israel the chosen people? And we will take our first key scripture, hallelujah, out of the law of Amos. And it reads like this. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which are brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Amos 3:1-2. All right, we will go down. No, that is the conclusion of those two scriptures. I'm sorry, they are combined. So I read to you the first one and then the second one, which was you only have I known all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities. So that was the conclusion of the second reading. All right, we're going to take an in-depth look and we're going to find out why the children of Israel was the chosen one. And we are told that Israel, as the object of God's election, the doctrine of election, we are told, is rooted in the particular of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And that the conviction, out of all the people on the earth, God had chosen to reveal himself in a special, hallelujah, and a unique way. Hallelujah, praise God. And so, to a particular people, and this conviction resonated through every layer of the Old Testament literature from the early awareness of Israel as the people of Yahweh. And we can read through the Psalm 147:19-20. Say, He showeth his word unto Jacob, his stature and his judgment unto Israel. And he had not dealt with any nation compared to Israel. And that is found in the law of Israel 14:1 and then Ezekiel 20:5. All right. Now we are told that God's election of Israel, that it was a result of the sovereign initiative of God at the very beginning of Israel. Hallelujah, noted in salvation history. It is call of Abraham to leave his homeland for a new one, which would be shown unto him. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Genesis 12:1-7. We find out that this directive came to Abraham from God, who also promised to bless his descendant and all people on earth through them. We find out that while Abraham responded to this call in obedience and faith, his election was not the result of his own effort, but solely of God's decision. We find out that the central word in Israel's vocabulary for describing their special relationship with God was the covenant. This covenant was not a covenant contract. It was a covenant contract between equal partners. This was not the case. But it was a bond established by God's unmerited favor and his love. We're told that the gracious character of the covenant is a major theme in the law of Deuteronomy. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. So we find out that the reason that they was chosen, through our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. Unto himself. He said that above all people that thou art upon the face of the earth. So we know that the Lord did not set his love upon you, not choose you because you were more in numbers than any people. For ye were the fewer of all people. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 7 and 6 through 7. And we know that within the covenanted community, God selected certain individuals to fulfill specific functions. We find out that the following people are said to be elected in this sense. Number one, Abraham. Number two, Moses. Number three, Aaron. Number four, David. Number five, Solomon. And the king priest, Zerubbabel. They are prophets, and they are all chosen by God in different ways and in various purposes. We find out that Jeremiah believed that he had been elected and set apart as a prophet even before he was born. That scripture reading can be found in Jeremiah 1 and 4 through 5. And we go back to the Israel election. And God said that it was never intended to be a pretext for pride, but rather an opportunity for service. He said that I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness for a light of the Gentiles. That scripture reading is coming out of Isaiah 42 and 6. From time to time, the children of Israel were tempted to presume upon God's gracious favor, to assume, for example, that because the Lord had placed his temple at Jerusalem, they were exempt from judgment. Again and again, the prophet tries to disabuse them of this false notion of security by pointing out the true meaning of the covenant and their mission among the nations. That scripture reading is coming out of Jeremiah 7 and 1 through 14, Amos 3 and 2, and then Jonas 5. And in the Old Testament, we are told that among the people of God would come the birth of the Messiah. It is seen to mark the dawn of the age of salvation for the remnant. And that is coming out of the law of Ezekiel 34 and 12 through 13 and then 23 through 31. Hallelujah. And then it said that the community of Essence at Quorum saw themselves as an elect remnant whose purity and faithfulness precede the Mosaic Age. And we're told that the election and the new covenant, the earlier Christians saw themselves as heirs of Israel. Election, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, 1 Peter 2 and 9. And Paul preached this theme most extensively, but we should not overlook its central importance for the entire New Testament. Again, certain individuals are singled out as chosen by God. We find out that the 12 apostles in Luke 6 and 13, Peter in Acts 15 and 7, and then Paul, Acts 9:15, and Jesus himself, Luke 9:35, 23-35. And in the Synoptic Gospel, the term elect one is always set, hallelujah, in the context that is the day of tribulations. And it said that in the day of tribulations will be shortened for the elect's sake. So that means that God will shorten the tribulations because of the elected sake whom he had chosen. That scripture reading is coming out of Mark 13:20. And we know that there were many parables of Jesus, such as that of the marriage feast in the law of Matthew 23:1-14. And that of the laborers in the vineyard, Matthew 20:1-16. It illustrates the sovereignty of God in salvation. In John, Jesus is the unmistakable mediator of elections. Ye have not chosen me, says the Lord, but I have chosen you. He reminded the disciples, hallelujah, in John 15:16. His followers are those who have been given to him by the Father before the world was, and none of them is lost. That scripture reading can be found in the of John 17:5-12. Hallelujah. We're told that John, the shadow side of election, is paused in the person of Judah. Hallelujah, the son of prediction. Though his status as one of the elect is called into question by his betrayal of Christ. Not even this act was able to thwart the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. And we are told that there are three passages where Paul dealt at length with different aspects of the doctrine of election. In this verse, we find out in the law of Romans 8:28-39, divine election is presented as the ground and assurance of the Christian hope, since those who God has predestined are also called, justified, and glorified. Nothing can separate them from the love of God in Jesus Christ. The second passage, coming out of the law of Romans 9:11, is preoccupied with the fact of Israel's rejection of Christ, which is the purpose of God, has become the occasion for the interest of the Gentile believers into the covenant in the third passage, coming out of Ephesians 1:1-12. Paul points to the Christ-centric character of election. God had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We can refer to this statement as the evangelical center of the doctrine of election. Our election is strictly and solely in Christ. As the eternal Son, he is along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the electing God as the incarnate mediator between God and humankind. He is the elected one. So we should never speak of predestined elected one. We should never speak of predestination apart from this central truth. We are told that election and the Christian life. Paul admonished the Thessalonians to give thanks because of their election. That scripture reading can be found in the law of 2 Thessalonians 2:13, while Peter said that we should make our calling and election sure. In the law of 2 Peter 1:10, however, in the history of Christians, through few teachers have been more distorted or more misused. The following question revealed common misperception. It is not elections the same thing as fatalism. Predestination does not negate the necessity for human repentance and faith. Rather, it established the possibility of both. God does not relate to human beings as sticks and stones, but as free creatures made in his own image. If salvation is based on election, then why preach the gospel? Because God has chosen preachers as the means to awaken faith in elect. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. We should proclaim the gospel to everyone without exception, knowing that it is only the Holy Spirit who can convict, who can regenerate and justify. The Bible teaches double predestination, that God has selected some for damnation as well as some for salvation. And there are passages in the law of Romans 9 and 11 through 22, in the law of 2 Corinthians 2 and 15 through 16, which portray God as a potter who has molded both vessels of mercy and vessels of destruction. Yet the Bible also teaches you and I that God does not with anyone to perish, but all to be saved. That scripture reading is coming out of John 3 and 16, and then in the law of 2 Peter 3 and 9. We are not able to understand how everything the Bible says about election fits into a neat logical system. But we know that our business is not to pry into the secret counsel of God, but to share the message of salvation with everyone, and to be grateful that we have been delivered from darkness into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And does not belief in election result in moral laxity and pride? Paul said that God chose us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, even though, to be sure, it is God who is at work within you and I. It is us both to will and to do his good pleasure. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Philippians 2 and 12 through 13. And we know that the proper response to election is not pride, but gratitude for God's amazing grace. With saved eternally, elections then is neither a steeple from which we look in judgment on others, nor a pillar to sleep on. It is rather a stronghold in time of trials, and a confession to praise God's grace and to his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We're going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to have to come back probably in another time. But we're going to try to get a little bit more into this sermon on this evening. Now, for instance, if you and I was in anticipation, drawing up a guest list for a party, you and I might want to leave out the prophet. While David and Solomon deserve the title of ancient Israel, known as the party animals, the prophets were the party poopers. Represented by the 15 individual books, we're told that the Hebrew prophet ringingly denounced evil, corruption, and immoralities as they saw it. And as noted early in the term prophet, hallelujah, we are told that it is a loose one. While the earliest sense of the word was seer, Hallelujah. And these men, Deborah in Judges was a prophetess, but very few other women are given the title. More than single fortune tellers of divinity. Their role, more accurately, be defined as human messengers of God. We are told that occasionally they were reluctant witnesses, as in the case of Jonah in particular. We find out that the people of Israel and Judah, the prophets also took aim at neighboring societies. And their words can still ring, unfortunately, true in discussing sin, corruption, and human fallibility. We find out that these books offer few biographical details about these men. And in many cases, portion of their books were composed long after the individual prophet lived. For the most part, uncompromisingly harsh, often vividly poetic, the body of literature left by the prophets is unique among the world's religions. We are told that the prophetic book also marked a departure point for Hebrews and Christian scriptures. In the Hebrew scripture, the three major and the 12 minors. We are told that the prophet followed the historical books of Joshua through Kings, all under the heading of prophets. The Old Testament continues a historical progression in which King is followed by Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Esther. And the prophets are placed much later. But to maintain a narrative continuity tracing the history of an ancient Israel, the prophets break them into two groups. The first group covers the eight prophets who preceded the fall of Jerusalem. And the exile, the prophet of the exile, and the post-exile period covered in a later chapter. But the three longest prophet books are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. They've been labeled the major prophets. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And the other 12 books are called the minor prophets. But the characterization does not reflect their relative importance. The minor prophets are not less significant, but the books are much shorter in length. However, calling them the short prophets, they might have made them sound like a Hebrew version of the seven dwarfs. And we're going to name the pre-exile prophets: Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Zechariah, Habakkuk, Jeremiah. And we are told that in the Word of God, God spoke these words. And he said, "But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." That scripture reading can be found in the law of Amos 5 and 24. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we are told that Amos was a herdman. Hallelujah, from a Judean village who goes to Israel during the time of the northern king, Jeroboam. He was a prosperous time in Israel. But we're told that Amos sees these good times as a time of moral decay, ethical corruption in both Judah and Israel. Because the biblical voice speaks, and it says that they sell the righteousness for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They would trample the heads of the poor into the dust of the earth and push the afflicted out of the way. Father and son go into the same girl, so that my holy name is profaned. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Amos 2 and 6. And we're going to leave it right here for now, and we'll pick right back up tomorrow on the sermon, Why Are the Children of Israel Chosen People? Hallelujah. I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital, Worldwide Ministry. Make your respondents and send it to in care of Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. We're going to now take you into the service of Hymns of Zion to just engage your spirit and encourage your heart. So we're going to now take you into Hymn of Zion. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Up now, Hymn of Zion. Listen up and be blessed.
Like, and you wouldn't know how to flex. Trying to dig up what you feel. Thought my vision wasn't so. But I got some money to roll too. And I bet it ain't you. And the ones I know can pull me through the things I got myself. And now I sit back and wonder, how can I make it without you? How can I do it without you? Cause I realize that there's no way. Here's a question that I wondered, and I figured out that there's no way.
Humbly, confessing with you, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Talking to a God that